Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the other day, my family tried to take a nice family photo. As you can see, it did not go well for a couple of primary reasons. The first reason, and no offense to any Ryans that might be sitting out in the pews right now, my family is not the most photogenic bunch ever. For whatever reason, the camera, it just doesn't do us justice. The second problem we ran into is that we tried to take the photo on our own. We didn't have someone to take the picture for us. So we used a timer on our phone with a 10-second countdown and then tried to pose really quick. And this was actually the best photo from that photo-taking session. As you can see, none of the Ryan males are actually looking directly at the camera. I'm staring off into space. One of my sons is staring down. And one has his back entirely turned on the camera. And the more you zoom in, the worse and worse things get. But for your sake, we won't do that. Now, unlike me, there are some people who are absolutely amazing at taking photos. The other day, I stumbled across the results of something from the International Close-Up Photography Competition. These people will take pictures of everyday things. You see them all the time. And then they'll zoom in, and when they zoom in on that object, you get to see just how wonderful and creative and majestic our God truly is. For example, one person took a picture of some snow, and you might look at that picture and say, that's nice, I guess, the snow blanketing everything like that. But then that same person zoomed in and took a picture of an individual snowflake. That's a real snowflake right there. That's what you're trudging across all winter long here in Minnesota, right? It's beautiful. Look at that symmetry right there. When you zoom in, you see just how amazing our God truly is. Another person took a picture of a damselfly. And damselflies are pretty, aren't they? You see them by the hundreds all summer long here in Minnesota. Well, that same person zoomed in and took this picture of a damselfly. Take a look at that. Maybe a little scary, right? But you can see just how amazing our God is when you zoom in. I mean, look at what goes into just a little damselfly's eyes. And who knew that a damselfly could grow a better beard than me? Look at that, man. Another person took a picture of a monarch butterfly. Very beautiful, right? That's a nice picture. That same person zoomed in and took a picture of a monarch butterfly's wing. And look at what goes into just a butterfly's wing, all those scales that make that up. When you zoom in, you see just how amazing, majestic, and wonderful our God truly is. And we're going to follow a similar thought process as we continue our sermon series here, Good to His Word, where we're talking about the many amazing promises of our promise-making and promise-keeping God. And what does He have promised for us today? Well, I think 1 John 2:25 says it best, and this is what He promised us. Eternal life. It's a pretty amazing promise, isn't it? But I'm telling you, the more and more we zoom in on this promise, the more and more amazing it gets. And I hope you leave here just so excited about this most incredible of promises that God makes to you individually. But before we zoom in too much on this promise, I want you to understand that just like all the promises that we've talked about so far, this is something that we don't deserve. We live lives entirely opposed to God. We don't deserve the promise of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you say, Pastor Ryan, we know that. You say that to us every single time you stand up there. True. But I'll tell you that the more you zoom in on my life, the more we zoom in on your lives, the worse and worse things are going to look when it comes to our sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. That's a fancy way of saying he has to repent daily because he sins each and every day. And believe it or not, those words apply to each and every person in this room. We all sin every day. We sin a lot every day. And it's always been that way. King David says in Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." That means that we were born with this thing called original sin. From the day we were born into sin, and then we keep on sinning and sinning and sinning some more. And when you zoom in on God's law, things look even worse for us. Take a look at something like the Sermon on the Mount and see how you're doing. Jesus says in this sermon, if you hate your neighbor, that's a sin. He says, if you look at someone lustfully, that's a sin. You don't have to commit the physical act. He goes as far to say, if you aren't loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you, that's a sin. How many people did that regularly this week? Spent a lot of time loving their enemies and just deeply in prayer for them. No, the more you zoom in on God's law, the more you zoom in on our lives, the worse and worse things look. And as you've heard me say before, sin, it has consequences, doesn't it? What has our sin bought us? Separation from God. Separation from God that starts now and lasts forever. That's what we all deserve because we fail to keep God's commands. We are incapable of keeping them on our own. Kind of like my family was incapable of taking a good family photo on our own. So you know how we got a good family photo? We hired a professional to do it for us. And she did what was seemingly the impossible. She made a group full of very, very unphotogenic people look absolutely amazing. That is a good looking family right there, if I do say so myself, right? She was wonderful. In a similar sense, isn't that what Jesus does for us? He comes to this earth. He lives a perfect life. He doesn't sin once. By the way, the more you zoom in on Jesus' life, the more and more amazing it gets. And then he takes his perfect self to the cross where he dies on it just for you, just for me. He pays the price that we owed for our sins. And in the process, he makes us look pretty good. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On the cross, Jesus takes our sin onto himself and he gives us his righteousness and he does seemingly the impossible. He makes us look pretty good. You know what God sees when he looks at you now because of Jesus? He doesn't see your sin. He sees his son. And it makes you look pretty good. And because of that, we get access to this most amazing promise that we don't deserve, eternal life. So let's cut to the chase. What is that? What is eternal life? I think sometimes people don't fully understand all that this promise entails, and they're not as excited about eternal life as they should be. Well, the Bible gives us a definition here in John 17:3. Jesus says, now this is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life, it's not a gift that you have to wait until someday to unwrap. You get to experience it in part right now. It's a relationship with God, isn't it? It's a relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever. One where you have access to him already and can receive his grace, mercy, peace, wisdom, love, guidance, and more. That's what the Bible tells us about eternal life. It also tells us this in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. In other words, we aren't experiencing the full blessings of eternal life quite yet. When will we get to experience the full realm of all of the blessings of this incredible promise of eternal life? Well, one day when we're in heaven. Which begs the question, what is heaven like? That's a great thing to talk about as we celebrate All Saints Day, isn't it? What is heaven like? Or better yet, what does eternal life look like after we die? There's a few things that I want you to understand today. The first one is this. When we die, we will be face to face with Jesus immediately. There is not some snooze button that's hit where you're going to be waiting to be face-to-face with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after you die. Some people incorrectly teach this thing called soul sleep, that when you die, your soul just kind of waits around in the ground until Jesus' second coming. But that's not what the Bible says. In the Bible, we have passages like Revelation 6, where we get a peek into heaven as it currently is, and there are souls surrounding the altar and surrounding Jesus. Or better yet, from Luke 23, when Jesus is on the cross, what does he say to that thief next to him? He says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He doesn't say, "Truly I say to you, one day when I return again, you'll be with me in paradise." It's today. We get to be face to face with Jesus immediately. And I'll tell you something, seeing Jesus and being with him, that will be the best part about being in heaven. Think with me for just a minute here. What are the most beautiful things that you have seen in all of creation? Maybe you've seen the Grand Canyon. Maybe you've seen the North Shore. Maybe you've seen a glacier in Alaska. Maybe you've seen a field full of puppies running at you. Do you know why those things are beautiful? They're beautiful because they are a reflection of our Creator. But they're just a reflection. They're not the Creator himself. Now we see dimly, as if in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now we see in part. Then we shall see in full. We won't just be looking at the reflection of our Creator, which is so, so beautiful, isn't it? We'll be looking at the Creator himself. We'll be looking at Jesus Christ. And Revelation 21 has this promise for us as he greets us face to face. It says, "He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away." What an amazing promise we get in eternal life. And that's just a start there. What else does eternal life look like after we die? Well, you probably know this one already, but it bodes reminding. We will be reunited with loved ones who went home and the Lord. From 1 Thessalonians 4, we get these words, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Pastor Clark and I get the opportunity to visit people when they're on their deathbeds. And when they're on their deathbeds, a lot of times we will ask them this question: "What are you most excited about doing once you get to heaven?" And their answers almost always follow the same pattern. The first thing they'll say is, "I'm excited about seeing Jesus." And the second thing they'll say is, "I am excited about seeing my loved one who died in the Lord. I can't wait to see my mom or my dad, my husband, my wife. I can't wait to see my child." Isn't it an amazing thing that God didn't just die for you, that eternal life doesn't just apply to you, but for God so loved the world that he gives the world eternal life for those who receive his Son. What else does eternal life look like after we die? Well, the Bible promises us that we're going to have new heavenly bodies. From Philippians 3:21, God will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his, like Jesus's glorious body. What will that new heavenly body look like? I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. But I know when Jesus is going through his transfiguration that the Bible describes his body as glorious, and it's so bright, so beautiful, so lovely that the disciples, they can't even look at him, can they? Our body's going to be like that. I know it's going to be pain-free, sickness-free, disease-free, death-free, decay-free. It's an incredible promise, right? What else does eternal life look like after we die? The Bible says we're going to have a home, a room prepared just for us, with just us in mind. From John 14:2, Jesus says to his disciples and those who will become his disciples, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" In heaven, Jesus is preparing a room with just you in mind, just for you. What will that room look like? I don't know. I don't know exactly. But I do know that we have a God who knows us better than we know ourselves. I know that we have a God who knows every single hair that's on our head, the exact number. We have a God who says, "I know every word that's going to come out of your mouth before you even say it." You think that room might be personalized in an amazing way that you can't possibly imagine? What else does eternal life look like after we die? Here's a great one. We're going to be incapable of sinning. From Revelation 21, it says about heaven that nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. In heaven, we will not experience sin anymore. That sin that I do that causes so much pain, I won't do it anymore. Those sins that other people do that cause you so much pain, you won't experience those anymore. And it won't just be because you have so much self-control that you won't sin. You want to do it, you just don't. You're not even going to have the desire, the inclination to sin anymore in heaven. It's going to be entirely gone. What else does eternal life look like after we die? Well, we won't be sinning, but we will be doing some incredibly satisfying work. A lot of times people don't get as excited about heaven as they should because they think it's going to be kind of boring. Maybe they picture themselves floating on a cloud, playing the harp or something like that. But in heaven, you will be doing incredibly satisfying work. That was always God's design for creation, wasn't it? Think about that original paradise, Adam and Eve. They worked hard taking care of God's creation. Of course, sin and the curse ruined work. It made it toilsome. But Revelation 22 has this to say about heaven, that no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. We will be serving Jesus in heaven. We will be helping him run heaven in some way, shape, or form, and it will be the most satisfying work that you could ever possibly imagine. All right, we got a pretty good list here. How about one more thing? We'll end this list with saying, what does eternal life look like after we die? Well, know this. We will have no hope. You say, Pastor Ryan, wow, that's kind of a bleak ending to your list. What do you mean there's no hope in heaven? What could you possibly mean by that wild idea? Good question. Hear me out here for just a minute. From Romans chapter 8. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? In other words, in heaven, that faith that you have, it will have finally become sight. You'll already have everything that you could have ever hoped for through Jesus and through eternal life. Hope is forward-looking, isn't it? But in heaven, you're not going to be looking forward anymore. You're going to be experiencing all that you could ever imagine in that very moment. In heaven, hope will be a thing of the past. It's quite the list, right? What does eternal life look like after we die? We're going to be face-to-face with Jesus immediately. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones who went home in the Lord. We're going to have new heavenly bodies, a new heavenly home prepared just for us. We won't sin, we will work, and it will be satisfying. We're going to have no hope. And we could keep going. We really could. I could zoom in some more here. I'm kind of tempted to. I know y'all got an extra hour of sleep last night. We could spend a little extra time together. But how about we tie a bow on this message here? How should all of this change the way that we live in this life right here, right now? A few thoughts. In light of this promise, we should be embracing eternal life right here, right now. Look, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, if you will, but because you're already all here, you're already experiencing your relationship with Jesus right here, right now. The truth is, we don't have to wait until heaven one day to get to know God. We get to know him right here, right now, and we have access to what he wants us to have access to, his many blessings. Spend time with him in his word, in worship, in prayer, and experience his love, peace, guidance, wisdom, mercy, grace, and more right here, right now. You should be embracing eternal life right now. You should also be helping others embrace eternal life right here, right now. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he talks about storing up treasures on earth and storing up treasures in heaven. And he says, don't just store up your treasures on earth. Store them up in heaven. Don't do things of just earthly value. Do things of eternal value. What does God care about? He cares about souls. And when Jesus talks about storing up treasures in heaven, that means that you should be making it a regular part of your schedule to do things with the time, treasure, and talent that he has entrusted to you that influences souls towards Jesus. Does this mean that you can never do anything of just earthly value? No. No, it doesn't mean that God gave us his creation to enjoy. But a regular part of your schedule should be storing up treasures in heaven. In light of this promise, we should embrace eternal life right now, help others do the same thing, and finally, we should not treat death like those in the world do. How do people in the world treat death? Like it's the ultimate end. Game over. You lost. Better luck next time. Oh wait, there is no next time. But that should not be our attitude towards death. To quote Peter Pan, to die will be an awfully big adventure. Or maybe you'd rather have me quote the Bible from Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, you cannot lose. If you keep on living, you get to serve Christ right here, right now. What an amazing thing that is through eternal life. And when you die, you get to go be with him to your gain. This should change the way that we mourn the deaths of loved ones who have gone home in the Lord. We're still going to mourn, right? But we don't grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope. It should change the way we approach our death when we know it's coming near, if we get to know that. We won't grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope. Because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross, because of the promise of eternal life, the sting has been taken out of death. To quote the Apostle Paul, quoting the prophet Hosea, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Tough words to embrace, right? But may God grant each and every person here the faith to embrace those difficult words, to live out that kind of victory right here, right now, that you get because of Jesus, because of the promise of eternal life. May you embrace those words until the day that faith becomes sight and you get to see the most beautiful sight you will ever see, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face, thanks to this incredible promise, thanks to his work on the cross. May this happen in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.